So we've been doing a series called Hot Cold. You're visiting us today, and we were going to touch on jealousy this morning. I don't know if we'll get there because it's time is, but we might get there. But as one lady told me at the door today, she says, "I know I'm not a jealous person." I said, "Wait until I preach, then we'll see." You see, jealousy is much easier to see in others than it is to see in yourself, eh? And I had looked at a whole lot of different definitions today, but the best way for me to describe it is a smile with no love. You know when the guy sinks the putt, your opposition on the 18th green, you say, "Well done." There's no love in your heart. That's jealousy. But we might not get there today. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 4 and 3, and we're looking at an authentic garden community. What Jesus planned, Genesis starts in a garden, and the last verse of Genesis says it ends in a coffin. And so a man wants to self-determine, so he comes in and things die. So sitting in this auditorium today are dead things, dead emotions, dead relationships, and God wants to come and preach and bring life into your heart and life into your relationships. Amen? And so we're looking at five key things in the life of 3CR Church from Genesis chapter 4. We covered three last week. I will try and cover two this week and look at jealousy, but we're probably not going to get there. But we're going to cover two things. The last two things, and I trust that it ministers to you. And if you are sitting here, sometimes it's so difficult when there's a marriage course and people get up and rave, but sometimes you're sitting there and you're single and you're divorced, and you might have been divorced a couple of times, and you're sitting there thinking, "But what about me?" I trust God can minister to you too today. For we're not just a church that ministers to married, we want to minister to single people and divorced people, and we want the love of God to come into all sorts of people. Amen? So let's have a look at this whole text, Genesis 4. And it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." The exact says, "I have brought forth a man, comma, with the help of the Lord." The beginning of feminism, where women think that they are the solution to the world's problems, comma, with the help of God. Ladies, let me burst your bubble, you are not the answer. And gentlemen, let me burst your bubble, you are not the answer either. Jesus is the answer. And the moment we think we can come up with man and woman solutions to the world's problems, we never find the answer. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. This is where anger started. Anger got released throughout the earth. It still operates today, and it's in some of your hearts. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" First question God asks outside of the garden, "Where is your brother Abel? Where is your brother at Doxadeo Church? Where is your brother at Enchia Moraleta? Where is your brother at Leven de Voort? Where is your sister at the Anglican Church in Linwood?" You see, friends, one of the great problems of the church is that we are no different to the world, and we build a marketing hub where our name becomes more important and our brand takes precedence over Christ. And so we can knock people as we like instead of saying every brother and sister in this city bought by the blood of Christ is my brother and sister, whatever church they go to. It's not important. We are not building a brand here. 3CR name, God is more interested in people who are bought by his blood than people who belong to 3CR Church. Please listen to me. It is a value of ours. Brothering in the city, I have the privilege of addressing the pastor's fraternal. After 2 years in the city, they've invited me to address the pastor's fraternal, and I'm going to speak to them about brotherhood. On what true brotherhood means. And even if we're a little brother in the city, and there's some big brothers, I still want to pay my part as a brother in the city. And I do not want competition to determine a marketing strategy on how to get more consumers into our church over somebody else's church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we serve one another in the city. This is what it says, friends, and that is important. That is important to us. It's important, and how we speak of other people and how we speak of other leaders is vitally important. If we're going to change the city, we've got to get our tongues under control. This city is rife with gossip, slander, and criticism. And outside of the garden, I kill my brother, I murder my brother, I get rid of him, whatever way it means. Inside the garden, I lay down my life for my brother and I serve him, even if his doctrine is slightly different to mine. This is what it says, my friends, in the book of Hebrews. It says, Jesus is not embarrassed to call me brother. Sometimes by my behavior, I wonder if he's really happy to be my brother. I don't know if you saw that amazing story that happened in Cape Town this week of a girl who was abducted 17 years ago, actually on my son's birthday, the same day he was born. He's born on the same day. So my son has now had 17, nearly 18 years, and that same day he was born, that little girl was abducted from her mother. Is in matric this year, same as my son. I've had this glorious 17 and a half years with my son. And a little girl, 4 years younger, goes to the same school as her. They become friends. They don't know why. She says, I love you. She says, I don't know why I love you. And then people say, but you look the same. And then the father comes to pick up his standard 8 daughter and sees the matric girl and she says, I love you, and you don't know why. And then they have DNA tests, and the girl in matric who looks like the girl in standard 8 is her real sister. And it was the headlines of the newspaper. They found the DNA exactly the same. That, my friends, is how every brother and sister in Pretoria should be like. That I don't look at that we are the same. We've got the same blood inside of us. It doesn't matter what church you go to. That is a core value of this church. Otherwise, we'll become competitive and we'll start to employ people to make a better program so we can become more attractive instead of living in authentic biblical relationships. Amen? So Jesus says this, I'm not ashamed to call you brother. And then he says this. He takes a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, I will put my trust in him. So Jesus says, listen, brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be a son of God. I will put my trust in him. Then it says, we will stand in the presence. He will come and tell us about God, the Father. We will stand. And then it says this in Isaiah chapter 7 or 8. It says this, we are signs and wonders. Say, we are signs and wonders. When we dwell together, brothers and sisters, we become signposts, and the destination is only one thing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. That's the destination. When we live together as brothers, we become a signpost. When people take the direction of 3CR or direction of Doxa, they should get to the Father. They shouldn't get to anything else but the Father. And you've heard this many times, friends. They put two people in front of the crowds. Barabbas and Bar means son. Robinson, Stevenson, Jackson. Bar means son. Who are you, Jackson? Are you Jackson, Stevenson? Are you Stevenson? Bar is son. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Bartholomew, son of Tholomew. Barabbas, Abba is father. Barabbas is the son of the father. So they place in front of the crowd Barabbas, the son of the father, and Jesus, the true son of the father, and the crowd shout for Barabbas. They shout for the wrong son that gets into the wrong father. And when the church shouts for Jesus, when the church acts like brothers and sisters, people take their sign off us and they get to the Father, where they get correction, discipline, approval, inheritance, love, care, opportunity. Amen? Amen? That is a core value of this church, friends. And we've got to know that the enemy is committed to breaking relationships, because from here, all hell breaks loose. And it says in James chapter 3, it says, envy releases all kinds of evil practices and disorder. So God wants order, envy releases disorder, and it's very difficult for the church to live together unless we actually deal with the root issue. Amen? That means zip your lip, sir. And zip your lip, ma'am, when you're talking about God's people. Whether it's the person in front of you. You see, I met some Canadians here who've been working in Malawi, sitting there. You don't understand a word of Afrikaans. And we got a couple that got up and spoke for 5 minutes in Afrikaans. And you think, how will I have anything in common with them? The only thing you got in common with them is Jesus. You might speak a different language, but you got Jesus in common. That means for 5 minutes, without understanding a single word, I can find unity with those people because of Christ, not because of language. Yeah? Amen. So the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops. You'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Say Nod. Yeah, Nod. Just like Nod. Like Nod. I'm a little noddy man. I always nod my head. Nod is a, wandering is a curse. Wandering is a curse. And there are too many of God's people bought with the blood of Jesus that are wasting their lives wandering around in the land of Nod, nodding their heads instead of living with godly purpose. You know, when Jesus decided to walk towards Jerusalem, it says this. I know some of us is repeating. I'm just bringing us up to speed. It says, many were perplexed and some were afraid. When you start living with godly purpose, people will be perplexed and people will be scared. They will not believe that you can live with such incredible intent. Cain lay with his wife. She became pregnant, gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad. Irad was the father of Mehuyal. Mehuyal was the father of Meshuel, etc. Lamech married two women. Say two women. One named Ada and the other Zillah. And one of the commentators said he had the woman taped from A to Z. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock, etc. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. In Pretoria we say, hey, vrou, luister. That's that Pretoria version. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Five things, friends. The first is this, I am my brother's keeper. Outside of the garden, to hell with my brother. Inside of the garden, I am my brother's keeper. The guy in front of me, the guy behind me, the guy who speaks Afrikaans, and the guy who's in Doxadeo Church. I am my brother's keeper. Number two, I live with purpose. Jesus Christ came and he completely destroyed wandering. He came and showed us what it means to live. Not go off this way, not go off that way, not go backwards, not go up, not go down. He just came to live with purpose and he wants us to live with purpose. We have a DNA, we have a fingerprint, we are completely different to anybody else. We are born at this time of the world because God's got a purpose for us in this city at this time. And ask God what it is. Get people around to help you with what it is. And that, friends, is not to join the church. That is to advance the kingdom of God. As businessmen, as professors, as students, whatever it might be, when you get in your car tomorrow to go to your business, you are on the purposes of God. Make sure that you run a godly governmental business that ushers in the kingdom of God through your staff ranks and to the people that you deal with, believers and unbelievers. If you're a professor, be the best professor. If you're a student, pass your exams and do what God has called you to do and honor God by the time that you spend at university. We live with purpose. We don't waste our time. Number three, we give the naming rights to Jesus. It says he built the city. He named it after his son Enoch. And we break that and we give the naming rights to God. That's why the brand 3CR is not important to me, to us. We don't have to name things after ourselves. We don't have to build a brand where you have to glorify God. Yeah? Brand doesn't belong in the church, friends. Two things, then we're done. Number four, love one woman. Lamech took two wives. This is the first man in the Bible who wasn't happy with one woman. He took two women, and our president picked that up. And I don't know how many he's not happy with, four or five or six. You say, you can't speak about, I pray for him, I submit to his leadership, but we've got to preach the Bible. And the Bible says one man and one woman. That's what the Bible says. and we've got to be satisfied with one woman. And a curse got released throughout the earth that says men are no longer happy with one woman. And friends, when you read the Song of Solomon, you've heard me tell the story. When you read the Song of Solomon, it is one man who is absolutely captivated by a woman. And if you read Song of Solomon, he says, your hair is like a this. He never compares the woman to anybody else. And I want to say to you, ladies, if you're sitting in this auditorium and you've lived under the curse of comparison, I ask today, by the power of God, you'll be delivered from that. He never ever says, he says your legs are like jewels, your belly button is like a goblet. Some goblets are bigger than other goblets, but a goblet nevertheless. He says your waist is like Shakira's. No, he doesn't say that. He says your waist is like a bundle of wheat. And he says, your breasts are like the fruit of a palm tree. And it says, the man will climb the tree to get to the fruit. And as one of my friends says, what happens when I get too old and I can't climb the tree? He said, don't worry, the fruit will hang lower. God's got the whole thing planned. You know what it says, friends? It says this. It says, I find no flaw in you. Now, we're repeating some of these things, but people are new. Been married to this lady for nearly 22 years. I find no flaw in you. When she lives under that, she will blossom and flourish. It says you're unique. It doesn't mean you have the best of it. It just means you're different to anybody else. And I will love you without comparison, Mel. And I will love you, 3CI, without comparison. See, as a pastor of 20-something years, there is no greater pain that I've had in my study than having a woman who has not been loved flawlessly or has not been loved uniquely or has been loved in comparison to somebody else. Your eyes are not like, your neck is not like, your breasts are not like, your waist is not like somebody down the road. And that crushes people. And Lamech released a curse over this earth, friends, where women could not find security in the love of one person because their eyes were always wandering. And Jesus Christ had to come and show us what it means to love one woman, spot, wrinkle, and blemish. And he loved the church who was immature. He loved the church that was stupid at times. He loved the church that was sinful. He just loved the church. Whenever God works in the Old Testament, whenever he wants to break ground, he always sends the tribe of Judah first. Judah means praise. And one of the key things that changed in our marriage, because I was a critical person, and I could find fault in my wife very quickly like this. But one of the key things that changed was the day that I realized that men and women of praise always go into inheritance and men and women of criticism go around in circles. And I came home from a trip one day and I said to my wife, from this day on, you will live under my praise, not under my criticism. And if we are to change the landscape of Pretoria, then sir, you need to praise your wife and love her uniquely and treat her waist like a bundle of wheat, not like some other hotshot model. And when we love this church, because this church has got lots of faults, we love this church uniquely. We love this church flawlessly. It doesn't mean it hasn't got flaws. We just love it flawlessly. Because if you constantly compare the preaching here to Doxadea or the worship here to Hillsong or the coffee to the church down the road, you will always find fault with this church, as some of you do, because this church has got fault finders inside of it, unless you find a revelation that it starts in the Garden of Eden when they got kicked out and when Lamech was unhappy with one woman and Christ won that back and showed us how to love the church unconditionally. Unless we can find that, we will not love this church like it's meant to be loved. We don't put our grubby handprints on the white dress of the bride of Christ that is 3CI. We love her. And if her belly button is a little flabby and the goblet is a little displaced, we just love that belly button and we love that goblet until this church finds the incredible flourishing under the words of the people of the church. Because it says in Ephesians 5, it says he washed her with his words. He washed her with his words. And if some of you ladies sitting here are divorced because your husband killed you with his words, I want to say Jesus will never kill you with his words. He will only bring life to you and healing to you, security to you. Are you with me? Can you imagine, friends? 1,000 people, 1,200 people, I don't know how many people are here. Can you imagine if us and Doxa and Morita Park, if everybody spoke about the church in glowing terms? Your worship is like a bundle of wheat. Your coffee, just every aspect of the church came under words of life instead of words of criticism. We would start to see this body flourish in this city where people would be drawn by the love of God. Amen? Number 5. Lamech says, if Cain is avenged 70 times, then me 70 times 7. See that thing there? Just this bitterness. Adam and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 70 times, then Lamech 77 times. We don't have time to read Matthew chapter 18 now. But they came to Jesus and says, how many times must I forgive? 7 times? He says, I tell you not 7 times, but? Say it. Say it. 70 times 7. What Cain released was a vengeance and a bitterness and an unforgiveness that spread all the way sometimes into our own hearts sitting here today. I remember driving from Durban to Maritzburg, and you go through Pinetown, and there's this very big building called Metrophile, biggest building in Pinetown, and their motto is We Store Records. And as I drove past, I just felt the Spirit of God. Never heard God speak. I heard the Spirit of God say to me, you got people in your church just like that. They store records. And when you phone Metrophile, within 6 hours of phoning them, they send a robotic computer in there that goes zzz, 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 and it pulls a box down, and that box of records lands up on your desk. And that's what happens in the church. We've got this record of wrongs. We've got this record of unforgiveness that we've got stored. We think we've dealt with it. It's stored away in some kind of a building somewhere. But when the rubber meets the road, when we have a kaboom with somebody, it's like phoning Metrophile and saying, zzz, 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 and that thing gets put in front of us. 5 values, I believe, of this church that will change Pretoria. Number 1, I am my brother's keeper. I will look after him. I will look after his reputation. And I mean sister when I say that as well. I am responsible for the well-being of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Number 2, I will not waste my life. I will live with purpose. Number 3, the naming rights go to God. They don't have to come to me. I don't need to be glorified. I don't need to be praised. I don't have to take center stage. I don't need people to thank me when I lead worship. I don't need people to throw a party for me when my home group does my duty. I give the glory to God. I serve because of Jesus. I don't need attention. Number 4, I love one woman unconditionally, flawlessly, uniquely, without comparison. And I love the church the same way. With all its faults, with all its idiosyncrasies, even with that funny Englishman from Durban preaching. I love the church unconditionally. And number five, I keep forgiving. I just keep forgiving. How many times? Seven times, you ask? I say not seven times, but 70 times seven. I keep forgiving. I keep forgiving. I keep forgiving. I keep forgiving. And I promise you, if we do that, we will build an authentic garden community that brings healing to people and not continued brokenness. In Jesus' name, amen.